I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to an impromptu edition of Achtung Norwalk. My name is Nick Hart. Joining me in the heady excitement of a number of high-profile signings today, joining me is the man himself, Mr. Ryan Loftus. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Good afternoon. You lit the transfer beacons and out came your best soldiers. You know, we're here to chew the cud and give our thoughts on a busy day for Millwall.
Absolutely. And a buzz with excitement is my compadre, Mr. Harry Warren. Harry, I've never known you be so positive, mate. This has really got you excited, these signings.
Yeah, it's the most positive I've been since I tested positive for COVID. So, yeah, so it's not bad.
Let's hope it has a better effect on your body.
Yeah. Buy shares in Imodium. That's my overlying role.
Oh, dear. So, yes, it is an impromptu edition, dear listener. I have made a few notes, but there's not going to be minimal structure to this, chap. So I'm looking to you both to help me fill in the blanks. Three fairly high-profile signings in order of excitability on my front. I mean, today's news really provoked today's edition, chaps, was the Richard Cawley story that George Saville is on the brink of returning to the Den. That's fantastic news and unexpected news, Ryan.
Yeah, really, really exciting news, I think. I don't think anyone saw it coming. I know a lot of fans have, and including Harry, myself, and a couple others you've seen online, have kind of always said we've never really replaced Saville. It'd be if they ever got the chance, came up to bring him back. If we could find someone even just a bit like him, it would be a real boost to the team. And, you know, with no kind of indication going ahead to see it kind of pop up today from Rich Crawley that he is on the verge of rejoining is a massive boost and a massive buzz for the fans.
Absolutely. And Harry, I'm reminded when David Bowie released an album with no pre-publicity whatsoever. Overnight, there was just like a new album by David Bowie out. And, the music world was taken aback. It has a similar kind of impact. George Saville's return. You happy to see him come back?
Yeah, I mean, we've replaced George Saville with George Saville, haven't we?
That's right.
That's very, very Millwall. I mean, hopefully, they say undisclosed fee, and we know that in this market and knowing Millwall's financial sort of standing, you know, I think he went for about 8 million quid, didn't he? When he left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've done Middlesbrough over plus their wages that they've paid for Saville. I reckon it's probably going to be maybe 1, maybe 2 million tops, but in this market, probably nearer one and a half or something.
I would
like
have
that.
Thought. I mean, Ryan, we're not in the £8 million market, are we? I mean, we might be in the £1 or 2 million market, the Ryan Leonard zone or something like that. We're not going to be up in the high
Tom Bradshaw, Leonard,
the high numbers.
No, definitely, it's not going to be. I'd be surprised even if it's a club record fee. Really, I mean, we were saying just before we came on, I imagine. He's probably entering the last year of his contract in Borough and, it's been a while since they've been in the top flight now, so maybe the parachute payments are running out and the coffers are running a bit dry. You know, they released the likes of Son Belonga, who probably would have been up there with their top earners. So
he was 15 million, of course, wasn't he, famously?
Yeah, so maybe they're having a bit of a financial restructure.
Yeah, Fletcher went, didn't they? They've also got a habit of sacking managers up there, which eventually probably catches up with you in compensation, and it's time to get rid of George Saville.
Yeah, I mean, George Saville's return intrigues me. I mean, he's actually the fourth spell that he'll have at the Den. And that's quite an incredible thing. I mean, Steve Morrison, I think, had three spells in his time. And if you throw in, there's a loan period in 2013 when I think Saville was still a Chelsea player at that point, again in 2014. Then, of course, the permanent deal in 2017, which provoked the £8 million fee when we sold him to Borough. And now we hope, all things being equal, fair wind, rabbit's foot in my hand, bit of gypsy, flowers in the other hand. He's going to re-sign for us in 2021. That's four spells. Some players, Harry, never leave us, do they? They try their best. They have ideas of going to clubs that have big-time aspirations, but they always find their way back to the Den. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's. I think with the Saville thing, there is a little bit of unfinished business there. He was very much of his time, which I'll be interested to see going forward. That, you know, is he going to play in this three? Is he going to be the more attacking one, or is he being brought in for a bit of mobility? Because he's not best with outstanding pace, but he's definitely going to be the quickest of our midfield, I would assume, in a sprint. So yeah, maybe, you know, he's a box to box player. It probably will spill the end of Ben Thompson at Millwall Football Club, maybe we've sold Ben Thompson too late, because I don't know whether or not his stock is as high as it could have been when I think Portsmouth offered $800,000 for him or something like that. But if we reuse that and put that into the squad, then fair enough. And if we're buying players like George Saville, no one can really complain about that. I don't have a problem with players leaving as long as we replace them with better than what we originally had. And we know if George Saville comes back and is at the level that he was at when he left us, then Millwall's midfield suddenly looks a lot more, not violent. Violent's not the right word, but a lot more aggressive.
Robust.
A lot more Millwall-like. You know, when I was slagging Ryan Woods off last season.
Did you?
Did you? Yeah, exactly. Did I mention him a couple of times? Yeah, this is the difference. You know, I prefer a Millwall midfielder like George Saville, who has different qualities than what Ryan Woods brings us. And, you know, I'm a lot happier. I know that a certain journalist who is quite famous or infamous, shall I say, was saying that he couldn't see why we'd let Woods go. Well, obviously, if they had that on the back burner, that's definitely why they decided to go for Saville over Woods, I suppose.
Oh, every day of the week. I mean, Saville, we hope. We hope we're going to get the same Saville that left us in, was it 2019, Ryan? I mean, he will bring, in that case, he will bring drive to the midfield that was sadly lacking last season, money.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with what Harry says in terms of what he brings to the midfield. He does restructure. I think Millwall's midfield, for a lot of last season and, you know, without signings this season, is really pedestrian. And I've mentioned it on here quite a few times before about that lack of central threat and, you know, the inability to create chances or do anything really through the midfield. And we saw more and more with Woods kind of as the season went on that he just wasn't offering that. Yeah. I was looking over just some of, because obviously he didn't necessarily light the world or set the world alight when he joined Borough. I think it took a while for Saville to settle in and make a mark and really become a regular. I think, like Harry mentioned, you had a few changes of manager there as well. So, you know, by the time any club like that, as soon as you get signed, you know, within 6 months, all the signings that came in are now under someone else and have to re-impress again. You know, they're no longer a favourite. And I think it took him a little while to get going. But I was looking over, you know, just some of his kind of key metrics from last season. And he's really showing form of getting back to the levels that he was at when he was with us. So last season, he got 6 goals, which is his most since the 10-goal season he had with us. And, you know, an XG of 8.2 he got. So, you know, potentially looking up to 8. That was second top scorer for Borough, you know, just behind, I think it was Son Belonga maybe just ahead of him. But,
you know, from a midfielder again to be second top scorer, that's really positive. He had, you know, 32 key passes in the season, so 0.8 a match. Only Malone and Wallace had more than that for Millwall. Yeah. You know, he bested Woods in that metric. Chances created, he was better than Woods. You know, second for Borough for key passes and chances created. Second for Borough of winning possession in the final third. Again, just behind Wallace and Malone on that one for Millwall. And, you know, really, really close, a lot of these numbers to the numbers he put out his first in that 17-18 year with us. So, you know, 8 chances fewer created, 2 goals less, probably about, you know, 8 or 9 key passes less, 5 fewer times possession won in the final third. So there's a lot of indicators that last season he was getting back to his best. And obviously, you know, 3-4 years older now, you would maybe expect those to drop, or a player who's not that confident. You know, I think he had a lot of games off the bench in his first 2 seasons, and he kind of found his place under Warnock. He was, you know, playing in a back three, so he's probably, you know, playing in the midfield with the formation with a back three in it. Probably a bit more familiar with how we'll play under Rowett, but we know he can do it in a midfield two, or, you know, in a 4-4-2, or if it's going to be a 4-2-3-1 that he played in under Harris. But, you know, you see, he had such good connection with our attackers. And, you know, Wallace is still here, who, you know, he played with at Wolves and played with when he was at Millwall. So they probably have, hopefully they can have a wavelength still and get back together.
I was going to come on to Jed, because, I mean, Harry, I mean, Jed is still, the contract of Jed is still one of those things that's...
He's in contract for another season until the end of this.
Yes, he is. Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I get the clamour to make money on him. I am telling you now, I'm willing to let Jed Wallace's contract run out to have one last go at getting promoted. Because if you don't take that risk, what are you actually going to gain for him in this market? The market is not a seller's market.
Well, would we get another Jed in from somewhere else, Ryan? I mean, if we sold him...
Well, that's the point. This is the point. You're not going to get it for Jed money, so you might as well get the band back together, which they seemingly are looking like they're doing, and go again.
I think it's Jed. I mean, it's that is a big concern, and that will be a problem when I guess Mill will come to it. Hopefully they can entice him to stay. Like I say, getting that band back together, maybe showing the ambition is one way to keep a player sometimes. You know, if you bring back Saville that Jed knows, you bring in a couple other players and it goes, look, we're going to make a fist of this, and say, you know, we get halfway through the season. If we're not looking like we're on course for the playoffs, then maybe Jed has to go. And in terms of, you know, at the end of his contract, at this point, like Harry's saying, we're not going to get much for him. At this point, I would much rather have him for this year and lose him on a free and kind of wish him well, then lose him now and in a market where it'll be hard to rebuild. You look at just every metric, he's double all the best of our players in terms of everything and attacking and defending from the front. He's just too vital for us to lose at the moment. So I think the best way to keep hold of him is to bolster the squad around him and
go
give
for
him
it.
The tools he needs, yeah, to really go for a playoff push and show ambition.
And tell him he doesn't have to lump crosses into John Daddy Bob Varson.
Or tell him that he doesn't have to run himself into the ground 90 minutes just to finish 10th, you know. Yeah.
John Daddy Bob Varson, number 23 in the squad, is going to be replaced at number 23 by one Benik Afobe, chaps, who is second in my list of excitement of signings. I've written here, much travelled, much expensive, makes no sense at all. And yet I've written it. That's the state I'm in these days, listeners, since that heart attack. Much expensive, much experienced, much travelled. 335 career appearances, 85 goals. Where do we stand on the Afobe? I mean, initially I was quite neutral, but I think in the context of Saville coming back, and as you've just said there, Harry, not lumping crosses into John Daddy, but maybe Benik Afobe, it starts to look a little bit more impressive. Is that a fair comment, boys, do you think?
I don't know about impressive. I mean, I'm impressed with the bit of business. I'm impressed that there seems to be players coming in now, which is always a nice idea because we did let players go, obviously. And they were quite solid Millwall League One level and always put a shift in type players, Ferguson, Williams. I think a few others left as well. But the thing is with the squad now is if you look at the midfield's probably done. We don't really need anything sort of centrally in midfield.
It's quite an array in midfield, Harry, isn't it, really, when you look at it?
Yeah, so now you're looking at I think this, we've got a lot of players that can play in multiple positions. There's Leonard and Evans who can play in defence if we had a massive injury crisis. You know, Mahoney, we've never seen the best of on the left-hand side, with Bennett, presumably, and Malone possibly playing as a left-sided midfielder in certain formations and certain games and so on. So it is just the attack. And if you're going to go and sign a Fabi, you seem to, under Jacket, play quite well, if I remember rightly, and then got injured, which seems to be the story of Bennett's...
his career. Yeah,
which, you know, it's got to come right for him at some point, or it's never going to come right for him. And hopefully it does come right for him this season. I mean, probably 10 more goals in our side would make a massive difference. That jump from 10th to 6th seems a lot more doable when you sort of add probably 10 a goal season striker in there, because we haven't even had that, you know what I mean? So,
I mean, I've forgotten he'd actually played for us. I mean, these spells go from your mind, I find. 2013, he had a loan spell, and as you say, Harry, was injured in that spell. I can't remember much of him, so I'm not even going to pretend that I can remember Benik Afobe playing for the Lions. But Ryan, I mean, he was quite a prospect. He came from Arsenal. When you look at his Wikipedia entry, I mean, he played for the England under 21 side, under 18s, and is now playing for Congo internationally. He's played in the Cup of Nations, been to Turkey. He's been around the houses, but there was quite a prospect at one point. I'm wondering whether Gary Rowett can tap into what once was, so to speak, with Bennett.
Yeah, you know, it's an odd one. I wouldn't have called it myself in terms of actually happening. Like you say, obviously gone off to Trabzonspor the last season, and it, you kind of then go, as soon as a player goes out there, you're like, okay, well, that's them off the radar. You don't really need to worry about them anymore. But he's an interesting one. I really hope he will do well. Obviously, he's had, like Harry mentioned, injury problems. Also had that, you know,
and some personal tragedy.
Really put a halt on his kind of career when he was really hitting form at Bournemouth and Wolves just before then. You know, looking back in one year for Wolves, got 22 goals in 43 games for them, I think, helping them get promoted, and then went to Bournemouth and got 10 in 30. So, you know, has had some really good strike rates, and since then just slightly slowed down. I always feel like when a player moves to Stoke, a player kind of shoots their own career in the foot.
So, it slows you down as it's like the water.
Well, exactly. I can't name me a player who has left the club and gone to Stoke in recent years and done well. It's a bit of a dead zone at the moment for players. So, and you know, Rowett potentially is a good coach in terms of revitalizing players' careers to an extent. You know, he's kind of doing it with Mason Bennett, and you've seen how he rehabilitated this player who was so injury prone and never had form into someone who's getting there a bit. And just looking back at Afobe's kind of career, he's always looked like he's been someone who struggled to maybe be a first team player. I think everywhere he's gone, he seems to have as many, if not more, substitute appearances than starting appearances. And probably one of those who stayed at Arsenal for a bit too long, even though he knew he wasn't going to make it. And, you know, he had seven loan spells before making a move to Wolves, who bought him for £2 million. You know, his total career fees, he's been sold for more than £10 million three times. He's someone who has obviously been rated and been sought after. So to get him on loan, a different sort of profile to Zahor as well. I think someone's a bit more mobile, but probably a better finisher than Zahor. Hopefully a bit more reliable in terms of injury. You're not getting someone partway through a season. He's going to have a full pre-season with us. He seemed to not have too many injuries out in Turkey as well, so managed to have most of the season out there. And that regularity of football can be such a difference for some players.
How did he get on at Trebs?
So he scored 5 goals. He made 10 starts and 18 off the bench. So not a massive return, but they're not the best team in Turkey. And
no, they're not.
You know, it can take someone a little bit of time to adapt. He hadn't had much football beyond that. You know, played, looking at it, he had a short spell with Bristol City and got 3 goals in 12 games there. You're getting 4 of those off the bench. So
that's one in, still one in, what's that, one in four?
One in three. Oh, yeah, one in four and with compare only 8 with, starts. That's
compare
not,
that with John Daddy's right, though, Ron, which is one in seven.
Or whatever. So one in, what's one in four for a season? That's 10 goals, isn't it?
10 goals, that's close. Yeah, 10, just like 10, I guess 10, 11 goals. That's that's a really good return, you know, and that's if someone can stay fit. And like you say, now pair that with Saville, pair that with Malone and Wallace, if you look at who we've got in the squad now, it can, that hopefully could be a catalyst for him, and someone, again, who knows the club, who's, you know, only been here for, was here for a short time in like you say, Nick, a travelled career. But yeah, familiar settings, I'm pretty sure he's London born.
Yeah, so he is, yeah.
Familiar, you know, familiar settings and things like that can really help a player. Can mm-hmm. And being somewhere for a whole season, knowing this is where you're going to be for the year. You know, if he has a good season, I imagine his contract will be coming towards the end with Stoke, can look to get a permanent move. And sometimes that can be a spark someone needs.
He speaks highly of Gary Rowett. I'm just looking at the London News Online story where he speaks well of working with Gary Rowett in the past. And I wonder whether, just like George Saville, perhaps, Harry, I mean, players are human beings, aren't they? They want to be around people and places that are familiar and where you feel wanted and cared about. And if you don't feel that, whether that's in Middlesbrough, Trabzonspor or Stoke City, you know, you're not going to be at your best, are you?
No, I think that there is a relationship with certain players and certain clubs and certain managers and certain clubs. And I think it's obviously good that Rowett's attracting different players, and that sometimes has led to us signing clearly Kifton Bell and now yeah. Benik Afobe and Evans, who Evans is probably the one that I'm still not sure about, but there we go. I just think that the problem for me is we're still not, I get this idea that it's not Rowett's side was sort of thrown last season. I think with this transfer window, touching back to what we said on the previous show, is that, you know, they've got to do more. I still think free signings, although they're good, I still think that there's more to be done. I still think we're light in a few areas, and hopefully Gary Rowett's contacts, and this isn't the rabbit out of the hat that Aaron was talking about. I know Saville is, and I know Afobe is to some extent, but I know for the size of us, it's really big and it's really great, but I still think there's business to be done. I mean, you know,
talk of Josh Windass, Harry. Well, I think £5 million, which seemed to put us out of the market. But then a lot of this is smoke and mirrors. I don't think they'd tell us the full truth. This might come as a shock to some listeners, you know.
I don't think Josh Windass is wanted. I don't think Sheffield Wednesday are in any fit state to turn around and turn down money. I'm being totally honest. I know it can turn down 400k, but you know, it seems to dawn on players. You listen to other podcasts when it's got ex-pros on, when the pre-season starts and you haven't got a club, that's when they start ringing their agent and get me out of here. I don't want to be here. I don't rate this manager. I don't rate what we're doing. I want to leave. I want to do this. I want to do that. And, you know, we're quietly doing business, started to do business. And, you know, Gary Rowett's not going to get us relegated. And we're going to hopefully do business that puts us at the right end of the table. And our odds have been slashed into 7-1 to get promoted this morning.
You've changed, Harry. What's become of you? You've changed.
Well, I can only slag off what I see in front of me. So I last season, I wasn't happy with what I saw. I wasn't happy with the direction that we decided to go down. I knew it was wrong for us. I've watched us, like us all, and I understand that people get bored with Harris 4-4-2 football. But I also understand that we don't have to play boring 4-4-2 football, but the way that we play does to the den and the way that we play away from home can be two very different things. And
well, it has to be, doesn't it? You couldn't play that defensive style regularly at the den in front of a crowd.
But the idea was clearly to do that. And Ryan Woods and sort of slow, sort of muddling, sort of pudding base and midfield that doesn't really have anything really exciting in it. We're very bland, like a Scottish restaurant, and it's not great. And sort of Saville's are like, I don't know, we've added some vegetables or maybe a bit of chili.
A nice little lively,
a
little bit of spice, and it's nice. And I can see the idea of that, you know.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Achtung! Mehlball.
Let's talk about some spice, because there's an intriguing story on the London news. And I don't know if it's very carefully worded, actually. Millwall boss has said that Manchester City striker Liam Delap will be in big loan demand. And then the story goes on that he has not dismissed a link to young Manchester City's Liam Delap. Well, that, I mean, you could phrase that. I might not dismiss a link to Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. Because, don't mean to say it's a realistic prospect, but I mean, what do we think? I mean, that would that be a rabbit out of the hat? Someone of Manchester City caliber, Liam Delap, for example.
Go on.
Sorry, I was just about to say that I feel the it's not a dead parrot, for it ceases to be, or some words to that effect. That's how I feel about that. It's great going for these Lockie prospects, but if they don't work out, you look very much like the clown in the room.
You're thinking of the ghost of Troy Parrott. I mean,
I am thinking of the ghost of the perched parrot. Yes,
I mean Ryan. I mean, he's obviously an Ipswich player, and I believe he's it. I don't know where he is now. I've lost track of him. It's just remarkable for a player that once commanded such attention. I mean, don't know anything about Liam Delap, so I can't comment on him. I don't know if you've seen anything of him. Would it be a prospect if that came to pass for us, Ryan?
Yeah, he does look really, really good. To be fair, for Man City's academy, it is one of those with Parrott, and it's always a gamble going for a youngster who's not played. You know, it's just one of those things you have to gamble sometimes, and sometimes it's just adding someone for squad depth and someone who, you know, you hope might come through and prove to be a wonder star, and you get a good season out of them. But with Parrott, obviously came in and got those injuries and just completely killed off any momentum that he had coming into this season. I think you look at Delap, he's got something like 40 goals in 35 games this year in the youth leagues. And obviously that is youth football, and it's not Premier League football or not Championship or men's football. And, you know, sometimes you take a gamble. I think where Millwall maybe went wrong last season was they kind of put all their eggs in one basket with Parrott.
We pinned our hopes on Parrott.
Yeah, and then when he got injured, we were scrambling to get Zahor in later. So, you know, I think now this approach of, you know, there will be every club in the Championship, I think, if offered him, would take him. But sometimes it is just a matter of having a bit of icing on top of the cake in terms of, you know, we're going to get this kid on loan, and if he sparks fire, then he'll be brilliant for us and could be a really key player. If not, then, you know, we rely on the players we've got, which isn't necessarily the worst thing if we can bolster the squad otherwise. I definitely agree with Harry saying that we need a couple more still. I still think a creative, like a 10 or a creative midfielder is needed. I know Saville's come in and will bolster that. I think Josh Rindas, I think, would be a really good signing, not for any sort of anywhere near the price that Wednesday are looking for. Yeah. But like Harry said, they're not in a position where they can demand that money. I think they've got a... Maybe we can tell them it was 5 million and really we've only paid them 1.2, and then they can go to a court of arbitration if we use their own tactics against them, where we just tell them a certain amount of money is a certain amount of money and there's no need to check it because they should just believe what we say. But, I think there's work to be done still, but it's positive signs for the 1st of July.
Not quite a statement of intent, Harry, for you, but it's certainly a good splash so far. I don't know if I'm mixing my metaphors there, listeners, but we're kind of on the right road. Are you on the get the Rowett train?
Well, I'm now fully in the Rowett in camp rather than the Rowett out one. It's not done. Maybe I don't like going back to players that we've had before all the time, but I do find myself sitting here thinking in this market, when it does seem very stagnant now. I don't know if this is because people are at the Euros. It seems like it is literally a load of players who are free agents that are not moving. And I think clubs are not spending their money because they're waiting to see what they can get on the cheap and pay wages and so on, not pay big transfer fees. I also think the loan market's going to be used a lot more this season than what it has been previously, just because of the way our COVID's hit pockets. And I think clubs are terrified about a possible fourth wave in them sort of September, October, which I think, you know, any sane club would be, and any business really would be.
And so should we all, I think, away from football. We don't.
Yeah. I think maybe sort of careful caution may come into it a little bit, but you know, I'd assume that Mr. Thompson's on his way out. So I suppose that's another, whatever.
He'll be joining Tunnicliffe and Willow at Pond.
Well, that's a League One midfield three. If only they sacked their manager and give Neil Harris the job, then we'll be halfway there to a promotion, wouldn't they, Portsmouth?
It's not bad having a feeder team in the lower leagues, is it?
We should just do. Do you remember on Champion? Oh, probably Nick doesn't know what I'm talking about, but Brian definitely will, and some listeners would remember on Football Manager where you used to be able to do ad affiliate club. you just send all your young.
Was that not St Johnston, Harry? Up in Scotland.
Well, that's St Johnston.
We sent Hayden Muller up to St Johnston.
That's our European base. You know how they Scotland want to be in the EU, so that's going to be our sort of shit-assery way of getting into Europe. Is when Scotland get independence, we'll just use that as the European base camp.
Join James Brown, who's stayed there. He went there and stayed there, unlike Danny McNamara, who came back. Hayden Muller went to St Johnston. John Daddy, we don't know what's going to become of John Daddy. We hope he's on the way out. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke. I sometimes feel a bit kind of this is football. You talk about human beings as cartoon characters, don't you? But John Daddy never performed. So, and his number's been taken now for Benic. So it does seem a bit like John Daddy's en route for somewhere else. Who knows where? Gentlemen, I just want to close us out with two remaining things that caught my eye. One is an addition to our coaching staff. We've got another Paul Robinson. How many Paul Robinsons have we had? This one was a Birmingham version.
Anymore.
I mean, I thought we were like the Ramones, where everyone was like pretending to be Paul Robinson. Everyone had the same name, made out they were brothers. Apparently, he's taken over the position of, the same position that Sean Williams was occupying last season as in coaching. So welcome to another Paul Robinson, not the Paul Robinson, Harry, but another Paul Robinson.
Well, you know who we'll have lined up as soon as a goalkeeping coach spot comes available.
Paul Robinson.
I reckon it'll be Paul Robinson.
Well, you know that Millwall like to be thrifty. And remember back in the day when Theo was on that sort of documentary where he was trying to flog the food on a Tuesday night off to the staff.
Yeah,
that's basically what they do, but with the kit. So they
made the players pay for their toast at the Calmont Road kitchen, didn't they?
Anyway, moving on from Theo, we could have another. We could do another Theo because we have Theo Robinson. We have all these, all the Robinsons. We've had all the Robinsons.
The Robinson band.
Yeah, just the other thing I'm thinking is we also might need some form of right-hand side winger. Would be quite nice as well. Not Scalak though, but like just another right winger.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll put a bit more faith in Bury this season to fill that role. He didn't really use him too much last year. It's always an interesting one of pre-seasons, always where you get maybe a bit more of a glimpse of the young players who could potentially do it. And, you know, and that's where everyone starts speculating of, oh, this is the year they'll break through and this, they'll be really good. And you know, all the pictures and pre-season friendlies, you see these performances and go, oh, this is the year Ryan Leonard actually plays just as a false nine and gets 40 goals for us. You know, he did it against Southend in a warm-up game. He's going to get 50.
Yeah. You know, social media goes mad.
Yeah, my first indicator has been that one of the first days back, they had Isaac Alofe front and centre in one of the pictures, and you immediately start going, oh, hello, he's with the lads. Is he going to play? Is he going to be the
great faith? I'm putting a lot of faith in Isaac.
I mean, I think logically the midfield, the centre of midfield, we've got a wealth of riches there. I really don't know what we're going to play and where and whom and at what time, because realistically, my three are probably completely different than your three. I mean, my three would be Kifton, Bell, Mitchell and Saville. And that seems unfair on Ryan Leonard. I'd almost, you know, if we're playing a five at the back, I'd play
and Leonard. George Evans. I mean, I know opinion is mixed on George Evans, Ryan, but I thought we did okay in the midfield role, less so in defence. He looked very shaky there, but as Harry says, we've got quite a midfield there, really, in terms of choice.
Yeah, it's definitely depth. I mean, it's just depth of similar players. I think was the problem that we started to mount, you know, with, and that's why I'm not too fussed with Sean Williams moving on. You know, I still would have liked to have a bit more of a send off. It's nice that he's going to be back for the Carabao Cup, but you know, we do have a lot of players there, a lot of versatile, with no one really occupying one position. And yeah, hopefully it will, someone, you know, makes that shirt their own, with the old cliche. You imagine Billy Mitchell will very much want to do that.
Yeah.
Saville,
yeah,
you know, if he's coming in as a kind of a marquee signing, you feel like he is going to occupy that. And then, like you say, yeah, you've got three other options in Kiefton, Beld, Evans and Leonard. Who all really should be or will want to be starters. So, you know, it's always good to have that depth. And like Harry says, there's just a couple other spots around where we maybe have slightly less depth that you should still be looking at.
Definitely need a 10. I think you're right with the 10. Also, I like how we've gone the whole way through the podcast without announcing that we signed the Arsenal youngster.
Daniel Ballard, that was he was the third of our three signings.
So we moan about no signings and then we nearly go for a whole pod without mentioning the third one. But
I don't know enough about him. I mean, all I've read is what's online about Daniel Ballard. I don't know if you know him, Ryan, or if you've seen anything of him, Harry, but 25 appearances on loan with Blackpool, and he's an Arsenal prospect, but he does seem like, a player for the future, as the cliche has it.
I think he played for Northern Ireland as well. I think
Northern Irish player, yeah,
that's right.
He's made a couple of appearances. I've seen him in that, so I didn't really take much notice of him. I don't know if that's a good thing as a defender. If you don't really notice, you must be doing your job. But I think he was signed as probably another one as cover. And it's weird, isn't it? There's this sort of transition is a very slow build, which seems to be sort of accelerated by COVID in a weird way. I feel that I know how we said this last season. I've seen this a couple of times now, but I really don't fear this division in any way, shape or form. I'm sitting there and, you know, Sheffield United seem to be in some form of disarray. I can't see them doing what they did before. Well,
Derby are in all sorts of trouble,
aren't they? Club that are just, you know, a carnage. And you sit there and this is the time, if this is not the time to have a good go at it, when is the time? You know, what are we in the division for? I know people say that we should be just happy some people say we should just be happy to be in the second and third, and that's where we've always been, so we should always be it, sort of saying you're from Yorkshire and you like meat and two veg and that's what you look for. But I'd like a bit of excitement. You know, the madcap run is what we live for, and imagine us being back and having a great season. And you know, it just seems like slowly but surely three signings have changed can change the mood, and
certainly change the mood online. I mean, I think the place is abuzz at the moment, and that's great to see, Ryan. I mean, it's been a long time since the Den has been alight with excitement, and I think that this is a really, if not the end of the squad building, then it's certainly a big statement of some form of intent, in my opinion. So well done to Millwall FC for what they've done so far. Best of luck to Daniel Ballard and George Saville and Benik Afobe. And I think we're on the way. One thing I do want to mention, boys, before we go, and I'm going to recommend to Mike Hayden, who's not very well at the moment, him and his wife, don't look at the new training kit, Mike. It's going to make you feel 10 times worse than whatever you're feeling at the moment, mate, because it's quite leery. I don't know if you've seen it, chaps. And I don't know who designs this stuff. It looks like someone's dropped a load of spaghetti on the floor and said, oh, that looks great. We're going to make a shirt design out of it.
I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as people make
it
out.
You like it?
At the end of the day, it's just a training kit.
Ryan likes it.
How old is Ryan, though? That's the question. Ryan's
he's listening to hip hop. He's listening to hip hop and, you know, all that kind of stuff, Harry.
Is it still made by Macron?
Yeah, I think it's our last year on the deal with Macron, which hopefully we're close to nudging them out the door slowly.
Macron provides my Saturday League team shirts, and it took them. I think they can only do a certain amount of shirts per time. So obviously over COVID, they shut down completely. So we've been, for some of our squad players, we've been waiting sort of 6 to 8 weeks past. So we're now going for pre-seasons with shirts that were ordered at Christmas. You know, they're turning up now. And it's like, oh, okay, cheers for that. So this is the top quality. That's probably who designs them. They've just got one guy that designs all
probably.
At the beginning of last season, though. If I remember rightly, or the season before, with getting the shirts out on time. So let's hope they've learned their lesson. But I just want to say on the Daniel Ballard sign, I think he will be, maybe not really good, but I think it's a really good signing for Millwall. I think it helps having a young player who played in League One, especially as a defender who's played in League One.
Yeah.
And, you know, physicality-wise, maybe the Championship is slightly less physical and robust, should we say, than League One. So that's a good kind of primer for him. And I think a lot of the good Championship loans recently from Premier League sides have been centre backs. I think it's a good kind of progression for them. It's maybe easier as a defender to kind of work your way up the level than it is a striker. I think a striker, it's almost like you have it or you don't, but with defenders, it's you get accustomed maybe to certain levels. You look at, you know, Gaye, who's on loan at Swansea, or Ben White was on loan at Newport and then Leeds and then now in the England squad, and Tomori, who went to Derby, then is now at AC Milan. I think there's a history, recent history at least, of Championship centre-backs or centre-backs going on loan to Championship sides and really progressing. So let's hope he slots in nicely, and let's hope our next two kits that get released suit him well and nice and vibrant for the younger generation. I might
get one and hang with the kids, Ryan.
I think that's what we need.
What's the rumor regarding the kit? Will it be blue with white to match the training kit, or will it be husky chocolate red again? I haven't seen
anything about the new season's kit at all. I mean, there's a great quote online for a club where the support go on and on and on about not wearing replica shirts. We seem to be obsessed with the new kit and when it comes out and what it's going to look like.
I think it's more for the fact that we don't want to wear replica kit, but if we do well, people like, we have the Millwall shop should take note of this business plan, right? At the start of the season, you only really sell kids' kits, right? Not many people buy a replica shirt. They then put a sale on at Christmas.
They do.
But that's before they know whether you're in any kind of cup final, any playoff, any sort of day where sort of the people that only come one game a season, you know, the people that the strings that
the glory hunters,
who will buy a shirt because that's that type of fan, you know, they then take and pay half the money they could have paid. So this is beyond you. Please do not have a sale of the home shirt of at Christmas. You know, it's not.
Please make them nice looking. That's my
yes. That's all we ask for. Designer. And also, don't let the Millwall come off the front, or the husky, the eye off the husky, peel off after.
Come off in the wash.
Yeah, that's not great, is it?
But I'm still looking forward to our European signings that have been rival. I mean, I don't know if anyone knows, but
hopefully from Northern Ireland, Daniel Ballard's from Northern Ireland.
Hopefully the recruitment team have been keeping their ears to the ground. I think there's this hot Argentinian player who's just gone out of contract. So hopefully they're sniffing around him. I know Harry was looking for a replacement on the right wing, but I think he was at Barcelona until 2 days ago. His contract's just gone. So a Lionel Messi, who is currently a free agent, could be.
I've heard he's put a.
You had me going for a minute there.
He's got a come and get me plea.
He's a big fan of hot chocolate, apparently.
Yeah, the husky
tonight. So hopefully we can get some sponsorship. Maybe we could get the Wayne Rooney style. I mean, how much money do Husky have? Can they afford 150 million?
They can afford McLaren's rear wing and to run one IndyCar in America. The 500, they're the only red car. It's so easy to spot. They've got a Swedish driver, Marcus Ericsson, who used to drive in Formula One as well. So they they're not hard up. Let's put it this way. I don't know what I mean. I still can't work out what the fuck they're doing with us. But there we go. There we go.
Perhaps if Lionel Messi is listening, I'm sure he is. You know, tuned into Achtung Millwall out there in Barcelona. Get in touch. We can put you onto Husky. We can make it happen.
Making it slightly more realistic. I mean, surely the Hungarian. Anyone from the Hungarian squad that's actually still playing in Hungary or someone, you know, all these kind of nations are surely a lot more gettable than, you know,
I do wonder whether we've been looking at the Euros and taking, no, I mean, you'd hope we are. We don't know.
I mean, there's a Finnish centre-back that I watched basically throw himself at everything. And I think he's like 28 and he's a semi-professional football player that plays in Finland. And has done really, I thought Finland defended by, you know, like Lions against most of the teams they come up against. I was sitting there going, that's the kind of European signing I want. Us to take a punt on someone like that for like $100,000. You know what I mean? That's not really going to break the bank. You can have a go at him. He's 28. You lose absolutely nothing by having guests on him. And it's literally got one of those. But we always end up when we go into when we go abroad, we end up with Bob Peters and Mayerhofer, and that terrifies me.
So. Jiří Skalák, that's who we end up with, but there we are. I'd forgotten about the European signing story, Ryan, so now we're going to keep an eye out on that one now. We'll see who we do finally get. Gentlemen, thank you very much for this impromptu edition. Who knows what excitement lies ahead of us for European signings and other strikers and all sorts of things. But for now, it's been a big thank you to Ryan Loftus. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Nick.
And a big thank you to the man himself, Harry Warren. Thank you, Harry.
No problem, mate.
And thank you to you too, dear listeners, for listening. We'll be back near the start of the season, or unless there's any other earthquake-style three-way signings, we'll be back then. But till then, till August, bye for now.
Hello.
Reporting from Skalák's sick bed. I've been struck down with COVID-19 Delta variant, I believe, which has been pretty debilitating for the last few days. Starting to show signs of recovery. And Millwall have just given me a little bit of medicine over the last couple of days, if I'm honest. Some extremely promising signings. Firstly, the lad Dan Ballard from Arsenal. A couple of mates are Arsenal fans, say that he's a promising prospect. Blackpool fans have been raving about him. And he's exactly what we needed to strengthen at centre-back. So, you know, that's excellent news. George Saville having a medical, a player we know very, very well. If he can find the form that he showed in his last spell before we sold him, you know, for £8 million, I think we'll be extremely pleased. And he, you know, I know Harry always says this, but we've never replaced Saville. We did a bit with Malumbi. So if he can provide that link between the midfield and the attacking phases, that's really going to help us next season, helping him with goals and assists. So, and it's a great bit of business as well. I'm unsure on how much we're spending on him, but I would say that it's going to be nowhere near £8 million. So not bad business at all. Benikophobe. At first I was a little bit disappointed with that signing. Just of the fact that not really scored a goal for a few years, to be honest, not found a home, bit of a journeyman striker, still only 28. But then I thought to myself, actually now with Saville coming in, he probably will get that better service. And also, I think Millwall's a place sometimes where players who want to rejuvenate their career, and I think Mofobe certainly needs that, he could do it here at Millwall on loan for the season. So, you know, that could turn out to be a good signing. So all in all, not bad business at all from the Lions. We'll see if anyone leaves. Perhaps we could see Thompson move out now. I'm not sure if that would be the plan. Another central player. Bodvarsson still sucking up Berylson's child's inheritance and grandchildren's inheritance. Perhaps it's time for him to get shipped out if anyone will ever take him. But yeah, certainly perked me up a bit. So, you know, that's given me confidence, more confidence for this season now anyway. Come on, you Lions.
Random mum from the school run. Firstly, can we confirm you are a random mother?
Yes.
Can we confirm we are currently on the school run?
Yes.
You've been chosen because we feel you accurately represent the fan base of all females in South London in football. Would you agree with this statement?
If you say so.
If I say so. Right, so question number one. Millwall's done some good transfer business. We've just signed a centre defender from Arsenal on loan. Did well last season at Blackpool. What's your view representing the mums?
Yeah, it's all good.
Care to elaborate a bit more?
I mean, they need football players, so they've got to have someone, haven't they?
Yeah. Secondly, Benik Afobe, he's rejoined from Stoke on loan. You know, he was on loan at Millwall before. He's been around a bit, played under Gary Rowett before. Was you happy to see Benik back at the Den?
As long as he plays better than last time.
He's not really played well for a little while, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we confirm you are actually a Millwall fan?
No.
Oh, right, OK. OK, we'll swiftly move on. George Saville, fourth time at the Den now, on loan from Middlesbrough, after signing for Middlesbrough for £8 million. It's good business, don't you think?
Well, it is good business, but, you know, if they've signed him four times, he needs to be a lot better than the first, second and third.
Yeah, that goes without saying, really. And what is your message to Millwall fans from the mums of the playground? Maybe if there's any single ones to get in touch?
Any single ones? Yeah, OK. We could do with some wags in the playground. It's all good.
Yeah, indeed. Say arrivederci, Millwall.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Acton Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.